Please take your hymnals and turn in the back to Lord's Day 10, to page 17. And for our Bible reading, we turn to Psalm 104. Lord's Day 10 is one of those beautiful Lord's Days that brings before us God's continuing care of the world which He has made. And remember what we're doing. We're reminding and teaching ourselves, what does it mean to say that I believe in God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth? That phrase from the Apostles' Creed, that's what the Catechism is teaching us, what it means. And so we're going to read question 27 and 28, as we've done in the past, responsively. Beloved Christian, what do you understand by the providence of God?
Providence.
How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? For the reading of our confession together, notice that three times the Catechism draws our attention to God's hand that is at work. He upholds us as with His hand. In fact, all things come to us not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. And then in 28, all creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they can neither move nor be moved. In light of that, we're going to read Psalm 104, a beautiful psalm which speaks about God's work in creation. And then especially we're going to see if you can notice where it references the hand of God. The psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps Himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beam of His upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds His chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the wind His messengers, flames of fire His servants. He sets the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. He covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of Your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys, to the place You assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkey quenched their thirst. The birds of the air nests by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows where to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lion roars for their prey and seeks their food from God. The sun rises, and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you form to frolic there. These all look to you, to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountain and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May the meditation, my meditation, be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. This far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Did you notice those beautiful words? When you opened your hand, they were satisfied, verse 28, with good things. The psalmist here is describing for us God's involvement in the world in a most beautiful and wonderful way. And he uses the wild beasts of the field to underline for us that these creatures live not by their own provision, but by God's provision. It's very clear when he talks in verse 21 about the lion. The lions roar for their prey and seeks their food not in their own strength, not in the sharpness of their teeth, in the quickness of their reflexes, in the strength of their paws, in their animal instinct. No. That all these nature shows, that shows us the strength of the wild beast as it hunts its prey, misses what is central in that very moment as the lion breaks the neck, rips apart the deer's throat. to feed itself. It missed the theology. It missed the perspective that says, thank you, God. Because that's what the lion's roar says. Because it looks for its food, not in itself, but to God. But isn't it faith that sees that? That's why these nature shows don't see it. And that's why it's so hard for us living in this culture post-enlightenment where the very understanding of God's involvement, presence in this world has been pushed away. So that it's all forces of nature. Animal instinct. We're too sophisticated, too intelligent to imagine that God's power is at work in all these things. But it's not intelligence. It's foolishness. It's the blindness of unbelief. The Catechism speaks the language of faith. And I've used this metaphor before, but it's so beautiful. The Catechism uses language here which is like those hand-me-down clothes. We need to grow into it. It's too big for us, isn't it? We can hardly grasp the enormity of what we say here. That our Father, listen closely, it's our Father that we're talking about here. It's not a stranger. It's not an unknown God like they worship in Athens in Paul's day. This is our Father we're talking about. The one who became my Father through Jesus Christ. This is the believer speaking. It's your voice. If you're a child of God, it's your voice. My Father is the one who upholds and governs, rules heaven and earth by His almighty wisdom and power, so that nothing is outside His control. And you see, this truth is so enormous. It is something we need to wrestle with moment by moment. Because we're quick to forget. Now, we can talk about providence abstractly, but the Catechism brings home for us that it's something very concrete. That with the eyes of faith, you and I need to see the hand of our Father in all things at every moment. And there's at least three things we have to say as we reflect upon this beautiful image of God's hand, our Father's hand. And the first thing I want you to notice, reflect upon, is that it brings home to us our utter, absolute, moment by moment, dependence upon God. The reason people struggle with the providence of God, with God's sovereign control and rule over all things, the reason your heart and my heart struggle is because of our pride. To declare that it's not up to us, but it's all dependent on someone else, is at times too much for us to stomach. That's why people reject it. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the prime reasons. But the believer lives in the reality that moment by moment, I am dependent on my Father. All things come not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. Nothing is excluded. Think about a young child. As they begin to move from crawling to walking, you know that precious moments where they try their legs, but it's so jelly they can't do it. And what do? We take them by the hand and we hold them. And as their hands cling to our hands, what happens? They have the strength to waddle along and to gain strength. But the moment we let them go, what happens? They fell back. That's an image of our life moment by moment. We are dependent for all of our strength and wisdom to navigate the world, not on ourselves, but on Him. Do you live in that kind of dependence on your Father? It's not your strength, your wisdom, your abilities that's going to make you flourish in this world. It's His sustaining grace, His upholding hand. Moment by moment. That's faith. It's true of the world in general. As the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that everything, moment by moment, is sustained by the power Christ. He says in Hebrews 1 verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining, upholding all things by His powerful word. He reminds us that it is His power, the power of the Son, who is the exact representation of the Father, in whom we see God in all of His fullness and glory, that is moment by moment holding, sustaining, keeping the world going. It's not gravity and the laws of nature. It is His power that uses gravity and the laws of nature. That were He for a moment to withdraw, everything would go crazy. The world would collapse. That's His power. And it's not merely true of creation, it's true of our lives. Notice The psalmist makes it clear that it is when God opens His hand that they are satisfied with good things. It's God's provision. It's God's giving. It's not your brilliant planning, your exquisite way of saving monthly that's going to set you up for life. It is God's provision. His care. Now, that dependence has to be fleshed out a little more. To notice that in this image of the hand of our Father, we not only realize our dependence, but we are dependent not on a stranger, not on an impersonal power and force. We're dependent upon our Father. It speaks of a very intimate personal relationship. There is no idea, as I said last week, that God made the world and just left it to itself. It's no deism. God is intimately involved. And this image of hand drives it home. He protects us and shields us. He keeps us safe, enfolding us with His hand. Now, it takes faith to see that. And did you notice how the Catechism so beautifully brings before us a whole host of various circumstances in which we can see God's hand and should see His hand. Leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty. Think about this. Leaf and blade, it's the growing of the food and of our gardens. Some of you have vegetable gardens. And I'm sure some of you have this conversation. How's the garden coming along? It's a question of providence. God's the one who makes leaf and blade grow. We need a little rain. Well, not now. We have enough weather as it is. We need a little warmth. What kind of question is that? It's about the seasons, rain and drought. Mom, what are we eating tonight? How's your health? How are you recovering after your surgery? There are signs of economic improvement, but some people are still struggling a lot. These questions we talk about, we banter around, but what do they boil down to ultimately? Behind all of that is the hand of God. So when you sit at your table and you eat, where does the food come from? Not your provision. No, your provisioning, your working is all a blessing from God. So that ultimately it is His hand that puts before you all the food on your table. It's your Father that is ruling, overruling, sustaining all things in your life. And that gives us tremendous comfort, doesn't it? It gives us comfort that when things are not going exactly too well, we know it's not some impersonal force, but it's our Father that is at work in us. And our Father has always, because of the kind of Father He is, our best interest in mind. This is our Heavenly Father. I'm aware of the fact that not all earthly fathers have always the best interest of their children in mind. It's a sign of the brokenness. But our Heavenly Father always have our best interest in mind. Always. And so you and I, in the midst of the darkness of the worst of times, when there's drought, lean years, sickness, poverty, whatever the struggle may be in our life, we may know that our Father is at work and will work through this for our good. Paul's beautiful promise in Romans 8. That God is working all things for good for those who love Him. It's an expression of this faith. You know how Paul begins that? And we know. We are convinced, convicted. That's the reality. Do you know that? You know what happens once we know that? It means we don't have to despair and lose heart. And even in the midst of our trials, we can begin to praise God. I'm reflecting in thought of this beautiful ending in the book of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree does not bud, and though there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there is no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, life has collapsed upon itself. The economy has crashed. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful in God, my Savior. Why does he rejoice and why does he have hope? Because he knows who God is. He is my God, my Savior. And you and I can say through Christ, my Father. And therefore, I do not tremble. It takes faith to get there, doesn't it? We're going to reflect upon this some more next week, Lord willing. But we need to see with the eyes of faith that the hand that steers and directs all things, that brings this into our life, is not the hand of a stranger. It's the hand of our Father. And that's why it's always tender, even though it hurts. It's tender for our good. Now we don't see that, but the eyes of faith believe that. But not only do we see the sorrows and pains as from our Father's hand. We need to see the blessings we enjoy from His hand too. You know, so often we forget to thank the Lord. So often we are quick to pray for need. But once the prayer is answered, we forget to say thank you. There's really nothing uglier than ungratefulness. You've seen it. One of the lessons that I learned, we were on our way on vacation once. You know how childhood memories are. There's a few things that stick with you, a lot don't. But I was remembering we were traveling, and my brother and I were in the back. They had a pickup, and my mom handed us something. These old pickups had little windows in the back. You can move back and forth. But my mom handed us some candy, and we grabbed it and forgot to say thank you. And my mom grabbed it back and threw it out the window. And I just remember my nose being stuck, yelling as my candy went flying down the roadside, "Thank you!" My mom was teaching us to say and be thankful. Now, it's important in our personal relationships. It's more important in our relationship with God. Because there is nothing you and I have, nothing in this world that we have not received from the hand of our Father. Are you thankful? And you know, we have so much to be thankful for. Many of you have grown up in Christian homes. That is a tremendous item of praise. You've been spared a lot. Some of you have not grown up in Christian homes, but you have come to know the Lord through your life. That is an immense item of praise. We have homes, warm homes. What a tremendous item of praise that is. We have food, plenty to eat. We have so much to be thankful for. And all that we have comes from our Father in heaven. Now, the wonderful thing is that God's upholding and ruling of the world has no end. Providence talks about God's upholding and ruling, governance, control. And that's a beautiful thing. Because not only does God sustain us moment by moment, providing for us, but God has perfectly, listen to this, planned everything in our lives. Everything in the life of our congregation. Everything in the life of our nation. Everything in the life of the world. It's all planned by God from all eternity. All of history. And our personal histories. Nothing is left to chance. The scriptures are very clear. And there's this beautiful passage in Isaiah 46. Where God reveals to His people and He says, in verse 9, "Remember the former things, those things of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please." God is saying, "I have planned it all and I will do what I have planned. No one can stop what I have determined will be, because I will do it. That means that everything that happens in this world is an unfolding of God's purpose and plan. That when we open our newspapers and we read, or when we see, or when we experience devastation, flooding, storms, it's not chance. It's all God's work. What I have said, I will bring about. What I have planned, I will do. Now, that's not only true for nations. It's true for individuals too. I say, one of the passages I read for children, for parents when they have newborns, is a beautiful passage, and Psalm 139, where David, of course, reflects upon how wonderfully he is made. But then, in verse 16, he says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Every day of our life has already been planned and purposed by God. It's staggering. If you think about your life, my life, just think about the people in this room. Nothing in your life has happened to you which was not purposed by God, and nothing will happen to you which has not been purposed and planned by God. The very beginning of your life to the very end of your life has all been mapped out by the Lord, and the intertwining of our lives, it's all been purposed and planned and controlled. It's staggering to imagine the kind of detail it would take to figure it all out. But that's our Father. Can you imagine the mind and wisdom of God? Just to control the lives in this room. Let's not just say the millions and millions who have lived on the earth. And they're all been mapped out and planned by God. And that means that you and I can have confidence for the future. We don't have to panic. We don't have to panic. Because the future is not in our control, but it's in His hands. We get frustrated. We think we can manipulate things, and we plan and we say, if I do this, then this and this and this, and then the whole thing collapses and everything falls apart, and we're like, oh, it's ruined. No, it's not. Because the ruining of our plans do not ever ruin God's plans. And so our confidence should not be in our plans, but in His wisdom that knows what is best for us. He's our Father. And our lives are securely in His hand. What a tremendous blessing that is for us as God's people. Amen. Lord, we confess that we struggle to grasp and live in the reality of Your perfect control of all things. That You rule and govern and uphold all of life, so that we can truly say that nothing that happens to us comes by chance, but it comes from Your hand, Your fatherly hand. We confess, Lord, that we struggle to believe that, and that we're quick to doubt whether You have any good intentions with us. Forgive us, Lord. Open our eyes to remember and see that in Christ You've become our Father. And therefore we can know that in everything You have our best interest in mind. Because we exist for Your glory. And You will have us glorify You. Give those who are struggling and facing adversity patience. Open their mouths to praise You in spite of their trial. Be with those who experience prosperity. May they be truly thankful to you. May we not forget to be thankful. And will you be with us all that we will have confidence in the future, knowing that your plans are perfect and will triumph, and we can rest in you. Give us the confidence to know that we live in your hand. And give us the eyes of faith to see your hand in all things. Please, Father. Amen.